بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Mullah Jami Rahmatullahi had completed his formal studies. In those days, when a student would cover his formal studies, then he would go for his spiritual reformation. Like they would consider the formal studies to be important, and they considered the spiritual reformation to be equally important. Alhamdulillah, we've seen the tail end of this. We used to see in Jalalabad some people coming in for 6 months, 1 year, only for the spiritual reformation, coming there, staying there, and then leaving. Everything requires a time. Now, what we want is that we want a quick fix solution. Come, a miracle must take place in 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, and there must be a total revolution in the person. Well, this doesn't happen. Allah, mashallah, some places, if it takes place, but it's not the general standard. Like formal education, you won't hear it being covered in 3 days. Someone has got all of sincerity, with all the sincerity, he wants to learn tajweed and hifz in 3 days. Does it happen? He's very sincere, very pious, very good, but it doesn't happen. It may happen if it happened as a miracle. Like you hear one person, he got married to a hafiza, right? Like you get married to a hafiza, and he is not a hafiz. So we're talking of adab, you see. So he felt very disrespectful that I am not a hafiz. Obviously, we're going to be engaging very intimately, one will be over the other. And then I am a non-hafiz and she's a hafiz. So he found it very, very difficult, extremely difficult. And now he's a little bit of age, 25, 30 years of age. And a working class person, he has to take care of the entire home. So he went out to one buzurg. So that buzurg told him, what do you do? You come and perform Fajr Namaz on my right side tomorrow morning. So as he came and performed the Fajr Namaz on his right side, and then Buzurg made salam, all those that were on the right side all became hafiz. All that were on the left side, and they were ummis, they couldn't recite the Quran Sharif, all began to recite the Quran Sharif. So now, this time, this type of things happen once in 1,000 years, 500 years. You don't get it, you don't have it happening. You can't say, I'm waiting for that buzurg. Maybe you die, your great grandchild will also die, and you won't see that buzurg. These are exceptions to the case, mustasna, exception to the case, exception to the rule. It happens maybe like 500 years, 1,000 years, and you get one type of buzurg, this one happens. But otherwise, everybody must follow the same sequence, going to the each class, come early in the morning, leave late at night, sabak door, salam, make you stand up, don't know your door, shout you. Sometimes, if you are unfortunate, you get a hiding. All these things happen, eventually you become a hafiz. So, unfortunately, people want that Islah and Reformation to happen, and they want it to happen overnight. And if it doesn't happen, then they become very much distressed, disappointed, depressed. Okay, you know, came here, nothing happened. So it's not the case that nothing happened. It happens, but everything happens. But the system of Allah Ta'ala, you can't rush things. Right? You can't rush things. The child has to be born. They'll be born within that period, 9 months. Then you want to rush that thing and let it be born in 2 days. It doesn't happen. It's for a period for the thing to settle, develop, etc., then be delivered. It will happen in its own time. The sun has got its own time to come out. You want to rush the thing, it's not going to rush. It's not going to be exceeding to your rushing. It will take its own time and come out. Right? So the same happens in Islah and Reformation and Correction. It needs time. And given the time, then you see the product at the end. You begin to understand, all right, this is what I need to do. These are my faults. How do I go about correcting myself? Right? What should I put in place? One person came to the Khanqah and he hardly spent a week, and the Shaykh gave him Khilafat, Ijazat, and he went away. But the word went around, okay, this person just came to the Khanqah and within a week, uska kaam to ban gaya, he's accomplished his mission. And we sitting here, someone is over a year, 2 years and 3 years and nothing is happening. Anyway, that Buzurg made out, okay, this is the thing, this is the talk that is going around. Okay, perhaps the Buzurg is not making tawajjuh towards them so much as he made to this newcomer. Okay, his whole work was accomplished in just under a week. And here we are sitting here so long, nothing is happening. So that Buzurg asked them to collect, go into the jungle, go see the tree there, just cut some sticks and bring it. They brought it and set it alight. It's all fresh twigs that just broken now. So it's not setting alight at all. Trying, much difficulty, a little bit, and then it's going off. And again, you try to put it on, and again it's going off. So he saw them and saw the difficulty that they were going through. So he asked them, all right, see that other tree, that the branches have all dried out, totally, absolutely dried out. Go and break those branches and bring it. So as he set it right, in one shot, one go, I think this came alight. So that Buzurg told them, see, you are still moist, your nafs is still moist with temptation. It's still moist, right, with materialism. You still have the crave, you still have the temptation with you, it's very moist. When it's very moist, then as much as I want to set you alight with the love of Allah, Allah, I can't do it. How must I do it? You have to be dried out of that moisture of temptation, of that moisture of worldly love, etc. When you dried out, then if someone sets you alight, then one shot you will be set alight. It's not a matter of the Buzurg not making tawajjuh towards you. The tawajjuh is done, but you are not still in that position. You hear, Hazrat gave the story, now, how many times he spoke about this. Hazrat Khaja Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullahi, many times spoke about it. He says that he had a guest. Many of these Buzurgan Din, they lived a life of austerity, hardly any food, bare minimum, and they continued with their lives in that manner. So for them, for their own selves, they were not so concerned. Right? Dry bread, whatever, flour, little, just to keep them alive. But now he's got this guest and he's very, very concerned. Okay, what do I do? For himself, he's not concerned, but his concern is about the guest. So he's sprinting from his home, to and fro, to and fro. Next door to him was the cook, Nanbai. This Nanbai, he got to know, guess there's something going on, and he prepared a nice big tray of food, and he sent it across. So he was very delighted, this guest of mine, and I'm not embarrassed. At least I got something to present before him. Anyway, fed him, etc. And after everything was over, now that Buzurg turns around towards this Nanbai, and it's mang tu kya mangta hai? What you asking for, what you want. Sometimes you understand, you make out, now this is a moment of acceptance. Like how you find on the night of Qadr, you just break down, right? You just break down uncontrollably. Your hair stands on end. You begin to understand, inshallah, this is a moment of acceptance, right? So that Buzurg perhaps made out, okay, this is a moment of acceptance, and this person really honored me with respect to my guest. Otherwise, what would my guest have eaten, you know? He asked him, "Mang to kya mangte? Ask what you desire for." So that make me like yourself. So that Buzurg told him, "See, this is a long journey. So much of nafs kushi, suppressing the self, self-discipline, correcting, all that. Like, you know, someone tells you, make me a martial arts master, you know. Does it happen in one moment? How long it takes? It takes so much of time. Right? Now he said, now make it, you know, you asked me what I want, so I told you what I want. Now, ordinary person, jahil, now how are you going to make him understand? He gave him his word, apni tarah bana de, make me like yourself. So when he gave him his word, he took him by the hand and took him under the rooms of the khanqa and started making dua, tawajjuh, etc. So my word is my honor. And when this person here, he's brand new and he wants to be like that, and he wants to be like that immediately. Now, I can't go against my word, but this person, he's not in the position of being transformed so quickly. Kept on making dua, tawajjuh, etc. About 5 or 6 hours, continuous. And then he opened the door. So, when he opened the door, both were identical. The Nanbai and Khaja Bakhtiar Kaki Rahmat, both were identical. People couldn't differentiate Khaja Bakhtiar Kaki Rahmatullahi from this Nanbai. Don't think Nanbai and Nanabai is the same. Huh? Nanabai is something else, and Nanbai is something else. Nanbai, normally they refer to a cook. Like how they say, Bawarchi, Tabbakh, Nanbai, all that refers to a cook, right? Two different things. In our Gujarati, the surnames are quite strange. You call the person Nana and Bai. Now what is he? Make up your mind. Is he a Nana or a Bai? What is he? Can't be Nana and a Bai. Can it be? Yeah. Izafi, Amr Izafi hai. Kisi ka to Nana hoga shayad, aur kisi ka Bai hoga. Yeah. Relative. Amr Izafi is called in English a relative. With respect to one person, he's a Nana. But with respect to another person, he's a Bai. So anyway, as they came out, there was absolutely, they were both exactly identical, no difference. The only difference was that Nanbai, his walking wasn't even. He was wobbling. And he just took about 3 steps and he passed away, collapsed. It was too much now. He filled into him and it was overfull. And he couldn't manage it. But anyway, the good perhaps is that the whole life he lived as a Nanbai, and he died as Khaja Bakhtiar Kaki Rahmatullahi. It was a question after that will that Buzurg be responsible for his death? So there's a question mark. So the answer is that, yes, the Buzurg didn't realize that this will be the outcome. He felt, alright, the man may become seriously ill for some time, for a long time, and then he may recover. But he did not realize that this will lead to his death. So you may call it katle shuba, not shuba, khata. Huh? One is amad, one is shibh amad, and one is khata. Right? So it's a khata. So when it's a katle khata, then the diyat is different. The more time is up, he says, okay, one person from Shah Jahanpur, he wrote up to me, I had a certain enemy, you know. And this person was harassing me all the time, harassing me. When it reached the hilt, so I just cursed him, Allah Ta'ala usko halak kar de. And I had to just say, Allah Ta'ala usku halaka, they destroy him, and the man died. So, this person writes up to Muna, well, will I be sinful for this? Muna, I really appreciated this person's letter. Because it was a normal person who will go around singing, you know me, don't play around with me. I made dua for this person, and in two twos he died, you see. I'm at a different level. So this is what he would have said. And this person felt that perhaps he is the cause. And maybe it was not right for him to say those words. And these words was a result for the person dying. Maybe I'll be answered by Allah Ta'ala. So he said, I really, really admire the person. And I had the word incident myself. I won't tell you the town and everything. But it was an educational place, right? Some girls were studying. And some of them were trying to get the attention of the teacher. Teacher was quite handsome. Up till now, he's about under, maybe about 50 or something, but he's still quite handsome. So the girls were trying to get the attention. And he was just refusing them. Just refusing them, blankly refusing them. Then one day they cornered him and they really tried to influence him. Really tried. رَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِيَا. They tried to influence him, seduce him. So in that he became very annoyed, very, very annoyed. And when he became very annoyed, he said, Allah Ta'ala, destroy this girl, the main culprit, destroy her. And in the next hour he phoned me up, Mulana, this is what happened. They met up with a motor car accident and this main culprit, she died. Am I sinful for this? So, you see, this is taqwa. So, what I explained to this person here, one is that I appreciate this question of yours. It's a deep, deep indication of the level of your taqwa. And then he says, see, if it is a result of your curse, just a result of your curse, then there can be two situations. One is whether that person was worthy of the curse or unworthy of the curse. If he was unworthy of the curse, then you are sinful, because he was not worthy of the curse, right? But if he was worthy of the curse, right, then you aren't sinful, right? If he was not worthy of the curse and you cursed him, then you are sinful. But you will not have to give any diyat, because it was a straightforward thing, you made dua, and it was an act of God. It was Allah Ta'ala's work, Allah Ta'ala killed him. Right? So, end of the story. But the second situation would have been that you cursed the person and you made some type of a batini tasarruf. You know how people go into a spiritual training, right? And they learn to mesmerize, hypnotize, all that. So, you had learned, or you understand that you have the ability to mesmerize and hypnotize. You can use some of your spiritual powers. Right? So the spiritual powers is not something to do, anything to do with piety. It is how much you've trained yourself. Right? With that spiritual power, you can do things. You know, you can bring down a person just with the sight. The strength of your sight, and you can bring down a person. So this is not a miracle, it's not to do with deen. It is just some type of a spiritual training. Right? So if you used your spiritual ability, right, and you have also a track record that where you use your spiritual ability and talents and things work out, and you have the type of strength, then obviously you'll be sinful, and apart from being sinful, you'll have to pay the diyat as well. Because it was not just a curse, not an act of God only, but it was also part of yourself. It is your act as well. One is it is purely an act of God, right? And one is act of God and something to do with your doing as well. So if it was your doing as well, then you are responsible. But the diyat, the blood money, will be the blood money of a mistaken. You know, you're trying, say, at the distance, you say, khata, like a person at the distance, he saw a deer, so he shot. And mistakenly, he got a man. So he intended the deer, and he got a man. He didn't intend the person at all, right? So that's called qatl-e-khata. So you'll have to give a blood money, but the blood money for of what? Of an intentional murder or mistaken, of a mistaken murder. So in that now, whether you have to free a slave, فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَتِمْ, or you have to fast for 2 consecutive months, etc. There's a whole chapter, whole discussion about this thing. So what we are getting at, we are talking about this reformation, correction, and people think that this thing has happened overnight. There's two things that are involved. One is the person himself, what level of determination and what level of courage he's come with determination, with courage, I must do this thing here. Number two is his spiritual ability. Right? Like in Hibs, for example, person comes, I must do it in Hibs. So you get many types. Right? One type will be the beginning, a lot of Josh, right? A lot of Josh, and he's doing some work at the beginning after he collapses. One is he's got that goal, he wants to do it, and he puts himself through it. But he doesn't have the mental ability. He wants to do it, but the mind is a bit weak. So it's going to take him time. Maybe 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, it's going to take him. So the same here as well. He wants to do it, but he doesn't have the type of ability. He doesn't have the type of capacity. When he doesn't have that capacity, how are you going to rush the thing? So it's going to happen, but it's going to happen with time. So now all these things have to be understood. One person has that capacity, one person doesn't have that capacity. One person has a bigger ability, greater ability, one has a lesser ability. So these things have to be understood. That it's not, you're not going to rush this thing. But the very fact that you are in it is a great blessing of Allah Ta'ala. He has graced you that you are searching for Him. مَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُحَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ. You have come out for this. And when you have come out for this, and en route you have passed away. Right? You have come out for this, en route, transit, you have passed away. So you got the full reward. مَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُحَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ. En route, in transit, you have passed away. Haji, and he's put on his ihram, right? And then he set off, right? En route, he's passed away. فَإِنَّهُ يَقُومُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُلَبِّي. He'll get up as a Haji, saying, لَبِّيك اللَّهُمَّ لَبِّيك. Right? Same with the Hibs as well. Person has set out of his house to become a Hafiz. En route, he's passed away. He's sincere about the whole thing. Allah Ta'ala will get him amongst the Huffaz. So this is a bonus, a perk from Allah Ta'ala that you tried for this. Life and death is not in your hand and control. It's in my control. But you were sincere about it. When you were sincere, you tried for it. So I will raise you amongst those people who are Hafizes. The same here as well. So that's a that's a great, great plus for any deeni work. Any deeni work you're doing, at whichever level you have done it, you know, it's going to be an advantage for you. But dunya, you have to attain that type of diploma or a degree before you can see any returns. Right? He's tried for medicine, and after the 3rd year, he had to leave. So can he practice? Can't practice. That medicine that he learned 3 years, nothing now. 3 years of money, time, effort, everything gone waste. Right? And here, if he learned 5 siparas, right, it's still with tajweed and all, he learned 5 siparas. Akhirat, obvious, right? And if he couldn't manage it afterwards, but he learned the 5 siparas well, then too it's a favor for him. At least he can get an imam a job somewhere, right? He can get an imam a job, he can do it, he can carry on. Though he didn't complete the course, but he did 5 siparas. Somewhere in dunya also he can work out for him, akhirat also he can work out for him. So that's the additional faida in a deeni work. Because it's Allah bugs. When it's Allah bugs, then Allah will honor you. You did it for me, I will honor you. I'll see for you. Alright, I understand. You've got engagements, you've got obligations, you've got duties, responsibility. I know all these things. You don't have to tell me about it. And I will work, I will see for you. So you're talking about this Khaja Ubaidullah, Mullah Jami Rahmatullah. And he set out of his house and he wants to go make his reformation, correction. See, in every field, any dini field, those that went for this, then there was a different color in their performance. If he was an alim, there was a different color in his performance. If he was an imam, there was a different color in his performance. If he was a teacher, an ustad, a mufti sahab, a sheikhul hadith, whatever, but he went for his reformation, then he started off, or he is sincere, he is focused on his reformation, absolutely focused, and his teaching. So there's a different color in him. His work is different, his presentation is different, he's being received differently, as compared to the person that is not at all concerned about his spiritual reformation. So the one that is concerned, you'll find a different color. As Maulana Yusuf bin Noori Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, he was studying in Darul Deoband, right? He says that we should attend the class, right? But everybody, the ustad, the top to the bottom, Darul Deoband, everywhere is Sahib and Nisbat. They were Zakir, Sahib and Nisbat. So just after this class session, you would feel that spirituality within us, as though, you know, a person has spent about 12 days properly in etikaf, and the type of spiritual feeling you will get, purity, cleanliness, in just one session of the ustad, and this is the type of feeling which to get as to we leave the class. So the ustad and the worker and everybody was like this. The whole environment was covered with nur. So the student that was enrolled and participant in the class, you would feel that. You would feel that. Unfortunately, this day, we don't see the need for this. This correction, reformation. So you don't see the end result. Students are coming out, but they are not doing like, they're not behaving like how they're supposed to be behaving. They're not conducting themselves like how they're supposed to be conducting themselves. More or less, it becomes a commercialized venture. How much you offering? You in chats with how much you're offering? All right, you're offering 7,000. All right, Amshlanga, what are you offering? 15,000. All right, let's go. And I will make up a reasoning within my mind. I say, you know, these people, they really value the ulama. They don't got no qadr, you know. See how I will explain, give an explanation for myself. I will not look at the need. Maybe that 7,000 people need me more there, but they can't afford it, right? But these people here, they need, but they can go elsewhere as well, right? But now I look at the figures, look at the perks, what I'm getting. I said, I must go here, because here things look more brighter here. So deen came first or deen came second, I asked you. Deep down what's within your heart, who knows? So that is the gauge. You want to see now, if you got sincerity in the work that you're doing, then look at it, look at the need. And your needs are being taken care of, but it's enough. With a little bit of constraint, but your needs are being taken care of. Now, if you have basic now, what he's giving, what who he's giving, and what the third person is giving, then you are not doing dini khidmat on the basis of sincerity, on the basis of who pays higher, who bids the best. So you go into the hands of the better bidder. So you are auctioned, you are a commodity under auction. So then they'll treat you, then eventually they'll treat you like that. They'll say, these people got no respect, and they're doing this. But then you treated yourself as an auctioned article, item. So you're being treated like how you had behaved. So you don't blame them entirely. It's partly their fault, it's partly your fault. So you see, those in the past, how they would carry on. Either you have made your correction, or you in the process. Even in the process, then too, you're getting something. Those that have seen Mawla Ansari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, right? The Imam of his street, right? Then beyond the call of his duty, he was there in the masjid. I know some old people come here, they come and tell me that they would come to the masjid, Mawla would start them off. And it was his habit. he would be there before namaz. Every namaz before like Zuhr namaz, 15, 20 minutes, and at least about 10 minutes after namaz. So if anybody's got any query, anything, anybody should refer. So he will refer to Mawlana. So one person will tell him, you know, or he will tell him, just come for namaz, Fajr and Isha. That's all. And in a few days time, he'll become a five-time Nazi. The next person, he'll tell him, you know, just read about only 3 pages of the Quran Sharif every day. One man, he's still alive, he's about 67, I think. So he said, Muhar to me, just read about 3-4 pages. Now, he gave me that start, and from that point till now, I don't miss out every day, I read about 1.5 sipara every day. So, that person who's got that little bit spiritual charge, then he goes beyond the call of duty. So, I need to do this, how must I correct this? How must I get this thing right? He'll attract the youngsters. Middle age, old age, but everybody, he'll have his eyes, and he will try and attract them. What stroke must I use here? How must I attract that person? So that only happens if you've got that concern, that fikr. And when you've got that, you charge with that fikr, you will speak to that person with respect. Whether he is new in Islam, whether he's wealthy, whether he's poor, all that is irrelative. The fact that he's a Muslim and he's showing some interest, how must I work with this person? How must I get him right? It'll take me time, but I need to work with the person. So he's got that fikr, that concern, how to work with his congregation, with his jamaat, how to get them right. If he's involving interest, how to get him right. If he's involving insurance, how to get him right. If he's gambling, how to get him right. Umarji Sahib, Rahmatullah, Ansari Sahib is giving the Juma talk, right? And so 1960s, I think, mid-60s somewhere. And some of the wealthier people of Durban, I won't mention their names now, I know who it was, some of them, just for the fun of it, they went to see the July handicap, you know, horse racing. Right? Now everybody knows that that's a gambling event, right? They didn't go for the gambling, they just went for the fun of it, for the excitement, right? So Mawlana had to give the Juma talk. So in the Juma talk, Mawlana says it very nicely. He says, Al-khayl maqood ala nasiyatihi al-khayr. Horses, the hadith has encouraged bring up of horses, rearing horses, and this khayr, this bargad on its forehead, right? But Mawlana said that is provided they are used for the right reasons, for jihad, etc. Not for gambling purposes, it is for good, for them to do it is good, and then to watch the event also is good, you're encouraging them. But if it's for gambling, then how can we go for a gambling event? So he stopped it, in the tracks he stopped it. But with such accuracy he did it. And people would like it. The Juma, he is very particular about time. Very, very particular about time. Starts off on time and end up on time. If it's say 1 o'clock, then 1 o'clock. The khatib who's giving the talk, no matter how powerful the talk, the speaker may be, you just stop them. Stop there abruptly and your talk will start off the khutbah straight away. Some people wouldn't like it, but the working class, they would really appreciate this because they are in a work, they're in a job, and their job can be compromised. Now, Mawlana is not looking just at the wealthy. Wealthy, he's his own boss. He can start off when he wants, he can close up when he wants. But the working class, he's at the mercy of his bosses. Bosses can penalize him. His job can be compromised. They can act funny with him. They don't have Islam. So they don't show that importance to Juma that we will show. But now, Mawlana wants that even that poor person, he also must attend the Juma diligently, come there without any fear. So, he would be very particular. And he will keep all the different classes, everybody in mind. Okay, I need to see that they also come for the Juma. Because Jannat is not reserved only for the wealthy. In all classes. He is poor, he is this race, that race. Jannat is it's for everybody. When it's for everybody, then I must work a plan for him. I'm only thinking about one class, not thinking of the other class. Is that fair, I say? Are we fair? That person now, even if you've taken 5 minutes or 10 minutes, he's looking at his clock now. He's not in his namaz at all. See, now what's my boss going to tell me? And when is this imam going to end up? So his attention is not in the namaz, it's drifted completely. But if the imam was a little bit careful, you know, I've got all these classes of people coming for the Jummah, the result that Jummah used to be kept packed. Alhamdulillah. See. So a little bit of consideration, concern, fikr, and how you get people towards deen, towards Islam, how you get people respecting deen, etc. A little bit of consideration, a little bit of understanding, all right, I must adjust myself. But I'm just got one single track thinking, you know, deen is very important, and they must, if they sacrifice 10 minutes for a week, what's there? Now you're looking at it from one perspective, you're not looking at that person, he's not at your level of iman. His commitment to deen is not at your level. So you come down to his level. Don't force him to your level. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Mu'adh ibn Jabal was a Sahabi that Nabi Sallallahu liked very much. And he was amongst the few Sahaba when Nabi Sallallahu said, "Ana uhibbuk, I love you." And he also gave him a basharat, "A'lamuhum bil halali wal haram." You're the greatest alim in my ummah, acquainted with masail of halal and haram. Now, one person from his masjid now, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, is living a distance from Masjid al-Nabawi, so he had his masjid. Right? So one person that was attending his masjid, he wasn't performing the namaz with Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. So he's the imam, and you coming to the masjid, but you're not reading namaz with the imam. So the word went around that this person is coming to the masjid but he's not performing namaz. So I said, a munafiq. Because only a munafiq would not perform namaz with jama'at. He's not performing the namaz with jama'at, so he's a munafiq. So the word went around. Now he said, no, I'm standing my grounds. For a valid reason, I'm not performing the namaz with jama'at. So he went and complained to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he performs namaz with you in Masjid al-Nabawi, and after he's completed the namaz there, then he comes and leads the namaz with us. And then when he's performing namaz, he's so charged, he's reading Surah Baqarah and all that. Right? He's so charged. So we are working class people, the morning we have to get back into the work again. We can't manage this thing here." Now, on the one hand, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi liked him so much. You see, that's why they say that friendship, then you have to be moderate in your friendship. Because when we don't know parameters in friendship, then when we are friendly with someone, then we will overlook his mistakes. Because the friendship now, we don't want to compromise the mistake. We don't want to compromise the friendship. Right? Because of the friendship now. And when we hate someone, then even his good is wrong. And when we too think the affinity is too great, then we make up an explanation for the wrong that he's done as well. So there is no moderation in the friendship. Ahbib habibaka hawnamma. So that friendship must go with moderation. Abghid baghidaka hawnamma. That if you dislike the person also, but with moderation. Don't go beyond moderation. Now that the perfect example was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On the one hand, he's saying, "Hazrat Mu'adh, I like you. Time that you, I gave you the certificate already." But now he stumbled here. When he stumbled, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very, very upset. And then he says, "Afattan anta ya Mu'adh. Are you creating fitna here?" So you either perform namaz with me, or either perform namaz with your people, and make it light for them. You can't be an imam for two places for the same namaz. You're performing the Isha namaz. If there, then how are you going to be the imam there? So you either make up your mind, you perform namaz with me, or perform and lead the namaz with your people, one of the two. But both don't combine it, don't join it up. All type of people, you're getting. فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَمَّ قَوْمًا فَلْيُخَفِّفْ. You're an imam, then understand that it's all types of people, so just lighten the namaz. فَإِنَّ فِيهِمْ ذَا الْحَاجَةِ There may be a person who's got some need. Right? He's got a need, you don't know his need. Right? مَالْمَرِيد There may be a sickly person that's performing a namaz. I tell you, right, the day that you were sick and you had to perform the namaz, right, then how did you perform the namaz? You lengthened the thing or you shortened it? You shortened it. So you made consideration for yourself, isn't it? But like you had considered yourself, isn't it your duty to think of others also, that perhaps I was sick the day and I wanted the namaz to be short. So it's likely that there's someone sickly in the congregation. So he'll also appreciate that the namaz is short. I said, no, hey, the jamaat is big today, I must impress them. Let me read a long qiraat. Now, how is that person going to take it? فَإِنَّ فِيهِمْ الْمَرِيدِ وَذَا الْحَاجَةِ وَالْضَعِيفِ There may be a weak person. Can't manage, old person, now he can't manage such a long qiraat. But now he's stuck now, he can't get out of the namaz, and it's difficult for him to maintain himself in the namaz. What must he do? On the one end, Nabi Sam showed him his love, but when there was a discrepancy, Nabi Sam corrected, pointed out to him, that don't do this thing again. Don't repeat this. But this shows also the importance of not just selecting hadith. See, the fitna today is that we just learn one hadith or two hadiths and then we come to a conclusion. The right thing is, if you want to take out a masla and deduce, istiqra'i tam. Bila istiqra'i tam, without that complete research, you can't make a claim. I don't know, you didn't see the whole subject, all the hadith that comes in that subject you haven't studied, and then you make a claim. That's wrong, it's unfair. Because it's possible that one was abrogated and cancelled. One came at a certain situation, right? It was required, it was done, it was practiced, but practiced at a certain situation, it wasn't a general law, not a general qaida. Right? Now, you don't understand the context and you want to apply the hadith, then that's dangerous. It's a problem you're creating, right? Like there's a hadith which says, لا خير في الصوم في السفر was hadith ليس من البر الصوم في السفر right it's not an act of reward to be fasting whilst you are a musafir what it's not an act of reward it's wrong for you to be fasting whilst you want suffer now someone is going for example three harams tour right 10 days Baitul Muqaddas 10 days Medina, 10 days Makkah Mukarrama. So his fasting is going to be sinful. Isn't it? Laysa min al-birri as-sawm fi safar. If he just looks at this. Understand? Now it's so dangerous. This is the problem today. It's selective. Just one hadith, we learned it, now you can apply the thing. Look at the whole chapter, study the thing, analyze it, then you'll come to the right conclusions. But like this now, it's unfair. It's not right, it's unfair, and you want to create a confusion. One is a thing about fazilat, it's a different thing. One is a thing pertaining to law, and the other is pertaining to virtue. Virtue is a different thing, and law is a different thing. I say now, performing the namaz with jamaat is 27 times more. It's pertaining to virtue, it's a different thing. But one is law, when it's law, then you must study it properly. You want to take it direct from hadith, all right, go. But make a proper study, whole thing. Whatever is required to see now which hadith came on what occasion, who is the reporter, what is like the chain of the narrators, right? How strong are they, right? Then you understood the Arabic language, right? You know, there's a thing like an idiomatic expression. In English, you have in other languages, idiomatic expression. Like you say in Urdu, Mera dil to baag baag ho gaya. It's an idiomatic expression. Now you're going to translate that into English. You're not going to get it right. You see, my heart became garden. Kaisa lagega bhai? Kabbalah. My heart became guarded. But in Urdu, it's right. Mera dil bagh bagh ho gaya. Usko dekh karke dil bagh bagh ho gaya. It's a right thing. But in... you don't get it right. Like in Urdu, you say, karela or neem chara. You know karela, the bitter thing, right? Neem is the stingerberry tree, right? Stinger, now, what do you mean by karela or neem chara? Now, if you don't know the idiomatic expression, you can't get the right meaning. Yeh bagle jank le lage. Bagle, bagla is the thing here. What? Your armpits. I began to, what do you mean by that? So if you don't know the idiomatic expression, you can't give the right understanding. So you must understand the whole thing, Arabic, the context, all the hadith that came in that chapter, the weak from the strong, the chain of narrators, the context, the sequence of revelation, then you arrive at a conclusion, then it's right. But you didn't do the whole study, and then you claim that, no, I'm practicing the hadith, then you're doing a disservice to yourself and to the people that you are discussing, both. Right? So this was a particular hadith at a particular occasion. It was an occasion, person is performing, is fasting, a nafil fast perhaps, and the Aun suffered. And then he collapsed. Right? When he collapsed, nafil fast, and he collapsed, so Nabi Sam said these words, Laysa min al birri as-sawmu fi safar, o kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, see, he's put himself into a problem, and he's engaged so many people into his khidmat now. We are supposed to be undertaking the safar. Now, he went and fasted like a bright thing. Now what happened? He put himself into problems, and he engaged so many people to his khidmat. Now our journey is getting affected. You see that? That was the context. Now, you want to apply it across the board, aren't you creating problems? Like I said, now, you're going three harams tour, or you're going for three and a half weeks to Haramain, right? Makkah, Medina. 12 days Makkah, 12 days Medina. So, no, laysa min al-birri as-sawmu fi safar. Can't fast. You understand? So, how do you apply the hadith? So, you need to know context, all these things, study the thing properly, and then you come to a conclusion, nobody will object. But now, you just take one hadith from here, one hadith from that side. No, I'm practicing the hadith. I don't practice Imam Abu Hanifa, I practice the hadith. Ye aapko dhoka de rahe. They deceive you. They say these words here. Dhoka dene ke liye. They're not studying the thing. You know, what's the dhoka? What is the deception? Don't follow Imam Abu Hanifa, follow me. That's what he's saying. Abu Hanifa came long before you. Him being a tabi, everybody understands, right? According to us, he was a tabi in respect to riwayat and ru'yat. Not only ru'yat, but ru'yat and riwayat. Ru'yat, nearly everybody says that he was a tabi. But riwayat, there is some difference of opinion. All of us say that he was a tabi in respect to riwayat and ru'yat, both ways. Right? So now, he saw that zamana and he saw those sahaba ikiram. And he was taking from them directly, where you came from. You came 1400 years later, you don't know the substance you've got, the understanding you've got, how authentic, how reliable it is. How can you compare yourself against him? No comparison. Absolutely no comparison. So anyway, we're talking about this Khaja, this Mullah Jami, right? We just drifted off into this subject. Right? So Mullah Jami, he went out for his Islah and Reformation. So as he comes to the residence of Khaja Ubaidullah Ahrar, right? So he went for his Islah there, right? So he saw a big, nice mansion, you know, very well done up, you see. So the words came out of his tongue, ke dost nabayad, ke dunya dost darad. That person can't be an Allah wala who has a love for the world. See, what a mansion. See this posh, calm, the house, the dwelling, you know, everything, state of the art. So he can't be a friend of Allah Ta'ala. So he came right to the residence, he saw the residence, and he exclaimed, Dost Nabayad, dunya dost are. He can't be a friend of Allah Ta'ala who has got an attachment to this world. At that point, he took a U-turn. He said, no, I'm not going for this. Came for a purpose. I don't see it in the man. What's the use? So anyway, a nearby masjid now, undertaken a long journey, nearby masjid. So he went and rested there. Fell asleep. He sees the day of Qiyamah. As the day of Qiyamah now, and the reckoning has started, and the malaika are telling him one sawab you need to get into Jannah, one sawab, you're short of it. Now he's going helter-skelter, one sawab I'm short of. In the meanwhile, he sees Khaja Ubaidullah Ahrar with his big entourage, thousands of people, and he's with all that plump and glory and respect and all that, and he's moving straight. So he comes up and says, this man seems like he's got loads, you know. What's your problem? This is my problem. Says, all right, so he tells him, let's give him some sawabs, man. Just give him some things. Gave him now, he's excited. In that, he just got up. When he got up, he says, I messed up. What I thought, what he turned out to be. So he went back to Hazrat Khaja Ubaidullah Ahrar Sahib Rahmatullahi. He's embarrassed. Came for my Islam. But what did you say last? Other than that was my foolishness. Allah showed him perhaps to cash or whatever, whichever way. My foolishness, my naivety, I couldn't understand this thing here. And in that naivety of mine, my short-sightedness make me mad for that. But you, what did you say? That would be really, embarrassing to you. No, it would have been embarrassing if you said it of your own. You saying it as per my instruction, now it's not going to be embarrassing and disgraceful. So he said those words. Dost na baayat ke dunya dost darat. So I said to him, completed. Now it's, you know, in a poetry you have to have two lines to get the poetry complete. It's just half the poetry you gave, you didn't give the other side of it. So it says the other part of it is, agar darad barahe dost darad. Agar darad barahe dost darad. But if he has an attachment to the dunya, not for himself, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, if he keeps dunya, then not for himself, right? He keeps the dunya for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. One is, I keep the dunya to impress myself, for my luxury, my comfort. And one is I keep it only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Like you've seen in the time of Umar, and the Baitul Mal is loaded, right? So he kept it for himself. He didn't keep it for himself. He kept it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. There'll be all types of people coming here, right? Poor, rich, wealthy, orphan, widows, all types of people, sick, right? When they come, and I got nothing in the Baitul Mal, how am I going to help them? So I'm keeping it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, that I can help others as well. To agar darat, barai dost darat. But now, how will you apply it to our context? Now, he had a dwelling. The dwelling was quite smart, attractive. Because Hazrat Umar, he had the wealth, he didn't use it on himself. And here, there's a dwelling, and the dwelling is like state of the art. So, he reasoned in this manner. You see, how he reasoned. In this, the age that he's living, there's all wealthy people all around, right? People all wealthy around, right? Now, in that context, if he had been living in a jondol, for example, you know, what do you say for a jondol? Shack, right? Living in a shack, right? You need to get all these people into Jannah. Will they ever come into a shack? People now, all this type of class, they all, and we need to get them into Jannah. Now, you living in a jondol, you living in a shack, and you want to get them into Jannah, will they come in? They must feel free to come in. So if it's done a little bit well, right, they will get attracted. This is just a bait, to get them into it and then show them the right. I tell them, Arjuna, you know, the horse you got is just a bait. Because a lot of people like horse riding and all these things. Right? So that's just a front. A bait, just to get them online. Once you got them online, then they're galloping then. All you need to do is just get them online. Get them online, then they're moving themselves. But now, you want to see them straight come in, they're not going to come straight. But you got a horse or something in front, so it's just a bait just to attract them. So to attract them to what? Towards Allah Ta'ala. But how do you attract them? Agar darad barahe dost darad. If he's got an attachment, then not for himself. He's got it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, that these people will see this, they'll come in, eventually they'll get connected to the right. So again, in this story, I look at it. If the Mullah Jami Rahmatullahi only looked at it from one perspective, dost nabayat ke dunya dost darad. Only the one side, he looked at it from one perspective. He didn't see the full picture, would have got the true story. See, so this is the problem in this day. The problem is that we just got a selected side, one side of him, and then we feel the thing what I have got, that's the right thing. There can't be anything better. Whereas I haven't got the full story. If you got the full story, then it's a different thing. I see it from this. I see this hadith here, that hadith. I see the chain of narrators. I see the wording of the hadith. I'm going to examine the whole thing, what the sequence of revelation, etc. Then I come to a conclusion that is different. Well, now, what's happening now is really it's a disservice to the science of hadith. And then, not only a disservice, but it's also, apart from being a disservice, it's a deception. The way it's being portrayed, or you're not following Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, following Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Alayhi. As though you didn't follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at all, as though he didn't know who was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you're following Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi only because he knew Rasul Ibrahim better than you. He understood him, he knew him, right? More than you understand him. Therefore, you follow him. There's no other reason. Why do you follow him? You follow him because he understood Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more, better. He knew him. He was closer to him, right? What that is closer? Sahibul Bayti Adra Bima Fihi, right? The one is from the home, he knows exactly what happened. But the one that is an outsider, what he knows? The one that's within the home, he knows something else. I'll just give one story to show you the home, the person of the home, you know, then you understand this concept. Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi was teaching in Sahanpur, right? Mazahir al-Lum. So, one relative was studying in the madrasa. So that relative told the khadim, you know, every day we're eating madrasa food now, you know, it's quite thick of it now. Get the home food, just bring it up, you know. Har kisam ka aadmi hota hai. Not clowns like us, then how the world will be complete? You have to have some clown also. So he asked for some home food. So the khadim told him, you know what? Hazrat ki yahan to faqa hai. There's no food at home. But Hazrat, when he would leave the home, a gulab ki phool ki tarah se, so beautiful, old man, so beautiful, fine complexion, well dressed, combed, everything so well. You can't make out that he's going through financial constraints. You can't make it out. In other words, they will not show their poverty. La yas'aluna an-nasa ilhafa. Was it ta'afuf? Ta'afuf, minat ta'afuf, usse pehle kya aya tha? Yahsabuhum al-jahilu aghniya minat ta'afuf. The person that is unwary, he thinks he's wealthy. He doesn't know. So they don't show. You know. One is to go and advertise your poverty. So they won't advertise the poverty. So the khadim is saying this cousin, that Hazrat ki haan to faqa hai. This constraints here. There's no food at all here. So he got a shock. He said, alright, hey, let me go and arrange something. I got money. Let me go and arrange for the house. Hey, don't ever think of doing that. Because if you ever do that, Others will know that I leaked this, they leaked the secret out. I am the khadim here. I am honored to do the khidmat. My khidmat will be on the line just now. Don't ever think of doing that. So you see, sahib will be, the person is off the house, he knows what's going on. The one that is outside, he thinks everything is going on very well, because he sees others coming up, and he's so well-dressed, everything. So he's got a different picture of him. Right? But the one that's inside the house, he knows. Abu Hanifa was in the house, in that time. So he knew Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he knew the sahaba kiram, he knew the tabi'i. The understanding he's got is million times, billion times, trillion times, gazillion times more than what you know. Right. So what conclusions he came up with was different, and what you will understand will be different. So it's safer for you to go with what he says, because his ilm was greater, there's no doubt. His taqwa was far greater. 40 years he's making fajr namaz with isha wuzu. Show me from this congregation one person, one day you did in your life. One day. With the healthiest of people, healthiest of food, right? So one day you did it. He managed doing it 40 years. Right? So you can't match with him in his taqwa, in his ilm. You can't match with him. So by a simple thing, by use your common sense, it's better, safe of you to listen to him than going by your own understanding. Allah Baktawfiq Nasib Kadeh.